yesterday. I want to toss and received. Gator, you're up.
All right,
here you go, boys. Tua is set to return this week for the Miami Dolphins versus the Cardinals. This week he spoke to the media, and when asked if he will wear a Guardian cap, he said no, he would not, and it was a personal choice. Your thoughts on this?
Well, he's right. It's his choice. He doesn't have to do anything he doesn't want to do. You know, he's been cleared to play. He's been practicing. Go ahead and play. But I treat it this way. I mean, if you're asking me, what would I do? I look at this. It's just like wearing a seatbelt if you're going to wear a Guardian cap. You don't have to, but I'll never get into a car driving a car or being a passenger in the passenger seat of a car without putting on my seatbelt. In fact, if I were in the NFL, I'd wear a Guardian cap even if I didn't have a concussion. If the evidence shows and the research shows that it's going to reduce my risk of concussion, I would. And I'm surprised more players don't. Now, maybe that speaks volumes to where the research and the evidence really is on the Guardian cap, but the fact that it's a possibility out there, I'm surprised more guys don't take advantage of it.
Well, CBS Sports cited a report that the NFL did, an investigation, a study. The severity of player impact is reduced by 10% with Guardian caps. It's reduced by 20% if both players are wearing Guardian caps. And look, every little bit helps. Tua's quote was, "Hey, I can get into a car crash. Everything, I think, takes risk. You can get out of bed the wrong way and sprain your ankle." Tua, that's why we wear seatbelts. And that's why our beds aren't 15 feet off the ground, so you don't have to plunge out of them in the morning. I just think of this, if I were a close friend of his or a family member, I would be begging him to wear a Guardian cap.
So I kind of honestly feel like he might be still concussed. I guess he's going to wear a, you know, even better helmet that quarterbacks can wear to help protect them from concussions, which I'm surprised he wasn't already wearing if that's the case. And he said he needs to just be smarter about it. Yeah, all those things come into play. Yeah, I'm with you, Doug. If I was a family member of his or a close friend, I would be telling him, listen, man, of course it's your choice, your personal choice on what you want to do, play without a Guardian cap, whatever. I would personally advise him to not play anymore and think hard about it, or at least take a longer time to think about a decision like this, because head injuries aren't like your knees or ankles where, hey, that kind of lingers, I'm still hurt. You know, when your concussion, quote unquote, goes away and you're symptom free, it's almost you feel like you never had one, right? So why would you think like, well, I'm fine? No, this is about future down the line, years, whether you're going to play with your kids, your grandkids, all that stuff. I would be really concerned about that stuff. It is his choice. I am rooting for him. But at this point, if something bad does happen where he's concussed again, it's hard to feel as bad for him as I would have. And that's my personal choice. All right, Devonta Adams, Amari Cooper, DeAndre Hopkins, they've already been traded. And the rumor is Cooper Kupp could be on the block, and there's other receivers that have been rumored to be traded as well. Why is it that so many notable receivers are getting traded?
I think it's an unusually high number of receivers getting hurt this year. Chris Godwin, Mike Evans in Tampa. You got Brandon Ayuk. You got Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, KC, Brandon Cooks in Dallas, Nico Collins in Houston, Puka in L.A., feels like a lot of highly productive wide receivers who've gotten hurt. And, you know, offense wins championships, and I think teams know it. And if you have a chance to win a title and you lose a receiver, I think you're in the market to go get one. And so I think that's the reason. I think it's just that it's what the market is this year because all the injuries to the position.
I think it's a three-point plan. First of all, the Raiders, the Browns, and the Titans are terrible teams. So they're looking to move on from players. Second part of that is, the wide receiver market, as Doug said, there's a market for the wide receiver, and all three of these wide receivers are north of the age of 30, okay? So that's also why it's there. And the other thing is, wide receivers you can find in the draft, through trade, and free agency. You know, if you have a great one, you want to hang on to that great one, but these guys have already performed great for the majority of their careers. They're on the downside of their careers.
Yeah, I think it's an easier, quick fix. You know, learn the playbook, get open, catch the ball. You know, I know it's not that simple, but I mean, that's what they're asking these receivers to do when they come to these new teams. I think that you want to, it's just something, it's easier to upgrade if you lose something, like you said, Doug, to get a receiver than other positions in football. And also the teams trading them, yeah, they're bad teams more than likely, but they can unload contracts, older players, and then replace them easier with younger players with less contracts. With that being said, my prediction is I think John Menchie from the Texans is the next guy traded, Menchie. And he's young, Gator. So I just think they just don't have room for him for whatever reason. He's a good receiver. He's young. Nico Collins is hurt, but still, it's Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell and the other guys. So that's just a little prediction I have. All right, Patriots head coach Jared Mayo this week called his team soft to the media publicly. Do you have a problem with this?
I don't have a problem with this, but you have to understand when you do something like this, it comes to the risk. First of all, he better have said that to the team inside the locker room before he goes outside the locker room and says it to the media. Because if you haven't, then you're going to lose the team. But the risk is if you do something like this and you tell these guys to their faces that they're playing soft, you're either going to find that you piss these guys off in a good way and they're going to respond to it, or you find out that you pissed them off in a bad way and they're going to alienate you and then you're not going to be around there much longer.
You better have their respect.
Yeah.
If you say something like that, I hope you've earned their respect. Nick Saban used to say horrific things at the podium about his football team. But the team respected him, so you can get away with it and not get away with it, but the team will take the message and won't be offended and won't turn on the guy. I don't know. I'm not covering that team. I find it hard to believe he's respected well enough already to be able to say something like that. But if he has their respect, it can be effective, yes.
So I have a cop-out answer a little bit. I think it's yes and no. Yes, I think I would imagine that he knows his team well enough to say something like this publicly. But then I say, why do it publicly, though? I mean, you tell the team yourself in practice, in the locker room, you know, before the game, after the game, whatever. Like, you can tell them. Because I think NFL players can take it if their coaches call them soft. I'm sure they've said worse to their face. I just don't know if you need to do it to the media. And I know Jared Mayo, first-year head coach. I know he's been there for a long time before he's been the head coach. But I think at this point, your team... Hopefully he knows the temperature of his team because this could definitely backfire doing it to the media. All right, who would you rather be right now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the 49ers?
I'd rather be the Buccaneers. They've obviously lost some players to injury, but I really, really like where Baker is. And when I've watched the 49ers this year, Purdy doesn't look the same. I don't know what's going on with McCaffrey. Now they've got piling up injuries at wide receiver. I'd rather be the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I'd rather be Tampa. I think they have a chance to honestly still win 9 or 10 games this year, and they can still swing a trade for a wide receiver after they lost the two guys last week. San Francisco's in trouble. They've got a tougher schedule, much tougher schedule, that may only yield at the season's end 8 or 9 wins. But are they getting McCaffrey back? I think they are. So at some point, that's going to help them out, but I still think Tampa's in a better state.
So, you know, I asked this question because, I mean, the Bucs are in an easier division, you would think, and they have a better record. They're above 500. The Niners are in a tougher division, but with a worse record. But you eyeball test, and you're like, well, the Niners have a better roster. They have more talent. In the end, I end up going, I'd rather be the Niners because I just believe in that talent and that roster more. I think they have a better defense. The Bucs. Those injuries on offense are going to really hurt and put some stress, you know, on Baker's arm because he's going to have to really run an offense now without Mike Evans and Godwin. And they also have a really tough schedule coming up the next 3 or 4 weeks. I don't know if they can survive it. I think maybe Atlanta kind of ends up taking this division. So I'm just going to take the Niners because I think the roster is better.
But part of that tough schedule is they play San Francisco. And if you look past those next 3 games, it lightens up significantly for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think they lose against the Falcons. I think they lose against the Niners. And so this could be bad. All right, more impressive, the 49ers wide receiver Ricky Pearsall, 3 catches, 21 yards. This is 50 days after being shot. Or the Browns running back Nick Chubb, 11 carries, 22 yards, and a touchdown, 398 days after a very bad, horrific knee injury.
Look, I think it's more impressive that Ricky Pearsall has come back from getting shot. I think the trauma alone would be a massive setback, the fact that you were shot. Coming back from a knee injury, look, that's part of the bargain that you make of becoming an NFL player. Injuries are a risk. That thing's going to happen. You're not expecting to go out and get shot. So, and he's had a year to recover from the knee injury. I'm impressed by guys that come back, and that's great. But Ricky Pearsall got shot less than 2 months ago.
You know, if you survive a shooting, I feel like you probably are part superhero. So that's really cool. But clearly, when he got shot, there was some degree of superficial wound, just a flesh wound maybe, and that's why he's allowed to come back. I'm going with Chubb. That the way that knee bent, plus I saw the knee. I did not see Ricky Pearsall get shot, so visuals helped with me.
All right, tough call. I mean, Pearsall, he almost died, but He didn't. And apparently it shouldn't really affect his career. He'll be fine. Nick Chubb, he might not ever be the same. So with that being said, I'm going to give it to Nick Chubb because he does go back to the scene of the crime every Sunday. And I think that could weigh on you. You could think about it. Maybe you don't. But for me, right now, I'm going to give it to Chubb while I still can, because who knows, his career may be done after this year.
Yeah, dude almost died, but it's okay. Good call.
Well, it's my choice, right? Gator?
Yeah. Way to go, Tua.
Personal choice. All right, Cowboys kicker Brandon Aubrey missed practice because he was selected for jury duty. He was actually selected for the 12-person jury, and it's a felony case, but apparently you don't have to be on lockdown or anything like this, so he won't kick this weekend. But have you ever been selected for a jury, and if so, what was the case?
Never have. Never have. I went in for jury duty once, sat in the courtroom, got dismissed. That's the extent of my jury duty experience.
Right away?
Yep.
I've been in a jury room twice. The first time I got selected, second time I did not get selected. The first time was in the mid-90s, early to mid-90s. I was excited to serve because I wanted to experience what that was like. Now I wouldn't want to do it again, but if you have to, you got to. It was a criminal sexual conduct 3 case. So it was involved a man who was, I think, in his 40s that was alleged to have molested a girl in a pool at a trailer park. He ended up getting acquitted and looked like he could not have been more relieved after that happened. It was an interesting case. I still remember some details to this day and reasons why I voted the way I did in the jury room, and others did too. Good experience.
I've been selected to be possibly on the jury 2 times, and the last time was downtown Detroit last year. It was a federal case. It was tax evasion. I made it past the first couple cuts, which had me sweating, but ultimately, they let me go, and I was not chosen for the 12-person jury. Thank God. I didn't want to experience that like you did, Gator. So I'm out. See you later, guys. Good luck.
Like tax evasion. Are you a CPA?
I was answering everything I could to not be on that jury. Trust me. I was like, I hate CPAs. I love CPAs. You know.
Is this really like where you want a jury of your peers to have some guy who's got nothing to do
you
with
taxes?
You know
who I wouldn't want on my jury? Somebody who's not good with math. You're
right. What are the percentage I get on this?
And that concludes the Wide Nine Omaha 4 Down Around the League Blitz thingy.